Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So we're going to click the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to listen to is Finley Quay, Maverick A Strike.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that is.
I think it's a band, but I'm not 100% sure.
So he's a Scottish musician. This album came out in 1997.
Okay.
So on allmusic.com. So it's a fairly short review. So it's a fusion of his own light reggae singing, urban contemporary production qualities, and mid-tempo trip-hop rambling. Finley Quay's debut album is an enjoyable effort. Particularly impressive is the range of Quay's voice, from a distinctive high tenor to barely audible whispering. In fact, the only problem with Maverick A Strike is the singer's lack of emotion. Even while his voice stretches out on the highlight, I Need a Lover, it doesn't appear as though he cares much about the song.
Okay,
kind of a negative thing going into it. Okay, so the album starts off with the song Ultra Stimulation. So here we go. Okay, so that was the first half of the album.
Yep. Interesting album.
Interesting. I'm not quite sure about it. I can kind of see where that review was saying. I feel like his voice is really good, and the instruments are really good, but I feel like there's a bit of a disconnection between the two. What do you think?
I thought some songs worked better than others, but, I thought it was, the disconnect between the voice and the instrument. I kind of picked up a little bit on that sometimes, but I didn't think it was like really, really all that bad. there were sometimes moments where it sounded like two different things were going on or something like that. Like the band was playing and he was doing his thing sort of separately, but that didn't happen all the time.
No, not all the time. And not on all the songs. Like Sunday Shining, I think was, I like that one. Yeah. But the last one, Ride On and Turn the People On, that kind of, it got a little repetitive and, And it just, I just felt like there was a bit of a disconnection there. And as well as, what was it? I think the second song, It's Great When We're Together. I just kind of noticed that it was just kind of, like they're, like he's, I don't think the review was right in that he isn't feeling what he's singing, but it seems like there's like he's doing his own thing and the music is doing something else. And so there's just like the two different things going on at the same time. And sometimes that can really work, but I don't know if it always works here.
Yeah. I'm thinking it might be sort of a thing where because it was recorded separately, maybe. And I'm guessing it definitely was. I don't think he was in the room with the band.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Honestly, it sounds like a lot of this is made from like samples of other places, of other things and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he had a band, but again, I think they were all recorded separately. So I think in a live setting, it'd probably be a lot better.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm sure he's probably a killer act to watch live.
Yeah, I would actually like to see him live with a full band. That would be, I'm sure, you know, that's kind of the thing that happened with a lot of bands. Like, sometimes, like, their live performance is better than what they recorded or what's on record.
Yeah.
You know? And
vice versa.
And vice versa. Yeah, that happens a lot, too.
It's just like, well, you sound really good in the record. Why do you sound like crap when you're just sound like unrehearsed, and completely off your nut?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there were some really good songs on here, like Sunday Shining, and then the next one, Even After All. I like that one too. There are moments where, you know, it's like, and I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying it's, you know, it's kind of hard. Yeah, it
comes together sometimes, and other times it doesn't quite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like it's like he really needed that band in the room to really get to get that feel. But I guess the producer decided, there's no way I can get a clean vocal track if you do that.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It sounds like it was just kind of pieced together rather than a performance. Well, I'm curious to hear the rest of the album. So let's continue on. So the second half of the album starts off with the song The Way of the Explosive. Or no, that's the one we just heard, isn't it?
That's the one we just listened
to. Okay, so the next one starts off with... the next half of the album starts off with Your Love Gets Sweeter. Okay, ending the album with the title track, Maverick, A Strike. So I think the second half of the album, I did sort of connect with it more. And I think part of it was I saw that, like, when we're playing it, I saw that the genre was pop. So I think I had kind of had that in my mind going into it. So when I realized that, oh, okay, no, this isn't a pop record. It's kind of like a psychedelic record.
Yeah, it's psychedelic. It's kinda. It's a dub record in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so definitely has that influence.
Yeah, especially on tracks like what's the Supreme I Preem. Is that an I? Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yes. So there's that. Sunday Shining was almost like that was the most pop song, I guess. But yeah, especially that last track was almost like a completely off the cuff sort of thing. I think he was just sort of just riffing.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's where I kind of got the psychedelic sort of idea, as well as I think it was the instrumental track, which was Red Rolled and Seen. That's sort of where I got the kind of clued in. It's like, oh, okay, this isn't really a pop record. This is something completely different. And, you know, I think I was just seeing it as something that it wasn't. And, that definitely helped to sort of get rid of that lens of, you know, seeing it as a pop record and then
the preconceived notion going in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's true. I think they basically put it under pop because they didn't know what else to do with it. But it's not really a pop record. I mean, there's pop elements to it, but the 90s was probably the last time where you could really throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And this is like 97, so really it's at the tail end of all that. This album definitely does have a lot of like, it juggles around with a lot of different, genres. Yeah. What was it like, described as? It was described as sort of like a soul, but,
Well, it's weird. It's his, okay, so on his Wikipedia page, it's, the genres that he is categorized under is progressive soul, trip hop, and reggae.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense, than a pop album. So, yeah, I would definitely, put it definitely more under the reggae dub sort of thing like that. But it's very experimental in a lot of ways. He wasn't trying to, pigeonhole himself into any one genre, really.
Yeah, and it's sort of like each track, although there are similar themes running through the whole thing, each track is pretty unique from the last. Like, what was it? Your Love Gets Sweeter. Well, that kind of really is a pop song, but then Supreme I Preem is a straight up reggae dub thing. So it's like, you know, he's kind of just like kind of going, you know, kind of experimenting with whatever and just sort of saying, well, today I feel like doing this kind of thing, or, you know, and he's not afraid to try something, you know, to take a risk and, you know.
And some work and some don't. Right. I find his dub stuff definitely has a tendency to work. He really knows how to do that genre really well.
Yeah.
But I admire his experimenting.
Yeah.
Is this his first album?
This is his first album, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, this is actually pretty strong for a really experimental first outing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know too many artists that would take this kind of risk with a debut album, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, no, I admire that he's not afraid to try something, even if it's something that I might not like. I admire that he's at least willing to try, and even if it doesn't work, at least he tried it, you know, at least he's going for it, you know.
And there really wasn't anything here that turned me off.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, just some things, you know, worked a little bit better than others, and other things like, I think they'd just be better live, too. I mean, he could do almost any of this stuff. And if he's got the energy of the band with him, probably be able to pull it off a whole lot better. And I'm sure he's now got a good, you know, 25 years under him, you know, since this. I don't know how long he was performing before this, but...
Well, he's had some legal troubles. In April 2012, he was charged with aggravated assault. And in 2015, he was forced off stage mid-performance by the owner of a club in Gloucestershire, who criticized him for lacking professionalism. He was forced off stage. Yeah, the club owner t- told him to get off stage because he thought he wasn't being professional. I don't know what happened.
Whatever. We're not here to discuss that. We're here to discuss the album. And the album is, I probably give it a, I don't usually rank things like that, but I'd probably give it a good, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's a pretty decent album. Has some weaker spots, but overall a pretty pretty enjoyable listen. And I think I might go back and listen to the whole thing with, the sort of
different ears,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I enjoyed most of it, yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, I guess we'll end the show there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. You can check us out at polyphonicpress.com. You can drop us a line. You can follow us on Instagram at polyphonicpressmusic. And you can, if you feel inclined, you can help us out by going to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. There's a bunch of cool stuff you can get there, including early access to these episodes. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.